So I'm Simon, and we are, today's Palm Sunday, and traditionally in Palm Sunday, there's the verses which are about Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. Today's reading is from the one which the people are using across the C of E churches for Palm Sunday, and it's from Luke 23, 8 to 21. If you'd like to take a Bible and take that, it will be coming up on the screen. Feel free to look at it on a device. Luke chapter 23, verses 8 to 21. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he'd been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with questions, many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. And then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. And that day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." I don't know about you, but these days we end up in the Larkin household watching Netflix quite a lot. Hands up, you've got Netflix. Then Netflix, you can basically watch anything that's been produced for the last sort of 20 years, any film, documentary, series. We watch BBC iPlayer, and you can catch up on various things. The BBC iPlayer at the moment, Sarah is really into Line of Duty, and I don't know if there are any other Line of Duty fans around here, but Sarah just can't wait for Sunday evening for the next installment of Line of Duty. But whether it's a Netflix account or it's a Line of Duty, we know usually that what the plot is going to be at the very end, which allows us to take part and enjoy that story, which is that at the end, it will all work out somehow, some way. It will be okay. For the Line of Duty fans, I just know that Hastings is going to be okay. If you suspect him, I know he's all right. Sarah is wondering about him. If you go to see last year, The Incredibles came out with Mr. and Mrs. Incredible. It had a box office taking of $183 million on the first weekend that it came out. And because it's a feel-good story, isn't it? We know that Jack-Jack is going to be there, and Dash and Violet, and they're going to, with Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, they're going to come back, and somehow it's all going to be okay. That's why we like these stories. It's sort of, it's a feel-good film. We know, even if we don't know, we know how it's going to end. It's going to be okay. But in our lives, the situation's not always like that. We don't know how it's going to work out. We don't know what the ending is. In our lives, they're faced with a lot more uncertainty. We can be in a dark tunnel, but not necessarily seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And we see this in relation to the Easter story. We know the outcome with the Easter story, but right now, if we can get into Jesus' shoes, he's right in the dark tunnel right now in this passage. The odds are against him, and he is really, really going through it. He finds himself betrayed by a kiss, the most intimate thing, the affection that someone can show you. And he finds himself betrayed by Judas and now being within the system of Pilate and Herod. And he finds himself up against Herod and Pilate. And he comes, he's brought in before Herod. And Herod, it says, has been waiting to see him, wanting to see him. But Herod hasn't been wanting to see him because of who he is, but of what Herod wants from him. It says in verse 8 that Herod has been wanting to see him because the signs, the miracles that Jesus has been doing. Herod basically wants to just use Jesus for his own amusement. Jesus is standing there, and Herod wants him to perform. Like a sort of modern-day X Factor. Can you just titillate me and entertain me? I mean, Herod is Herod Antipas. So we know a little bit about what Herod is like. He's the one who had Herodias' daughter dance for him. Herodias is his brother's wife, who he then married. And John the Baptist had been speaking out against this marriage. And Herodias' daughter came and danced for Herod. And he's loving the way she's dancing. He says, "I'll ask for whatever you want, and I will give it to you." And she runs to her mother and says, "Well, what shall I ask for?" And her mother says, "Ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter." And so Herodias' daughter goes back to Herod and asks for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. They go and kill John the Baptist, and his head is brought on a platter to Herod. That's the kind of person that Jesus is now in front of, saying, "Show me a sign. I want to see a sign. He's seen. I mean, imagine if you're wanting to be entertained like that. I mean, Jesus has performed so many miracles. He's turned water into wine. He's touched deaf people and they can now hear. Blind people who can now see. People who've been raised from the dead. And all he wants is to be entertained by Jesus. Can you just imagine for a second being in that environment? He just wants to use Jesus. And then you've got these teachers of the law, these Pharisees, these important people. And it says they're vehemently accusing Jesus. And they start to mock him. They put an elegant robe around him. Here's the king of the universe, the one who flung stars into space, with a robe being put on him by this human puppet king and by the soldiers, and just being mocked and ridiculed. What's Jesus thinking at that point? He can't get away. He can't. I mean, he could. He could just get away. He's got all the power in the world. But he chooses at that point to restrain all of his power. And at that point, to do nothing and to say nothing. We all face criticism in this life. It's said the best way to not be criticized is to stay at home. You can be surely, if you don't want to be criticized in your life, then don't do anything significant. Because when you start to do something, there will be criticism. And so this is the place that Jesus finds himself in. What does he do? He restrains himself, he restrains his power, he restrains his words. You can imagine within himself at this point what is going on. Can you start to imagine the type of conversation that he's having with his Heavenly Father? God, just get me through this. God, I'm suffering right now. Please help me. God, I can't see the way through it. I know what's going to happen and it's going to be terrible. God, help me right now. It's just the inner turmoil that Jesus must have been facing. We've got this 24/7 prayer room being opened up tomorrow. We've had most of the daytime slots, hours slot, but there's still a few available. But the nighttime slots are still available. And last year, we had people going in there in the evenings at night, and they said they had powerful times alone with God. James Kirby has talked before on this stage about the times when he'd lost a child. And he went into the prayer room and just cried out to God over and over again, trying to get some perspective on it. I just implore you over the next week, make use of the 24/7 prayer space, which is set up and available and freely available for you to book in as many hours in there as you want. Because we will all face challenges in our lives. We'll all be used by people. We'll all face criticism. But the question is, how do we deal with that? What we find here with Jesus, that he kept on going. Because even though he was being used, he refused to be diverted from his calling. He kept going. Christine Kane tweeted out yesterday about the obstacles in our lives. And she said, sometimes you soar over it. Sometimes you run past it. Sometimes you walk around it. Sometimes you stumble through it. Sometimes you crawl under it. Sometimes you just endure it. Sometimes you break through it. However you get to the other side, just don't stop. And this is what Jesus did. He just carried on to the cross. And so what happened is that then Pilate, who really wants to let him go, but he's got the rabble who's calling out. And he says to them, shall I release this man? And they say, no, release Barabbas. I mean, Barabbas is the convicted criminal. He is the one who has done the insurrection. And the people choose Barabbas over Jesus. And so Jesus goes to the cross in the place of Barabbas. The name Barabbas is interesting. It just means son of the father. The son of the father is freed, while the eternal son of the father goes to death in the place of Barabbas. And Barabbas is just is a true historical figure, but is also a metaphor for you and me. The things that we have done, where we are guilty, that Jesus goes to die in our place so that we can have communion with him. We're the one who views people. We're the one who are guilty. But Jesus takes our place. So when we're going through those times in our lives, and we will go through those times in our life, where we just have to keep going, we have to just fix our eyes on our calling and the end goal, we've got the Spirit of Jesus to draw upon, because he has endured all those things before us. And so we can keep going through the darkest night. There's a mission organization in Asia called Asian Access. And in a country that where they work, if you decide to become a Christian, if you decide to give your life to Jesus there, they ask you a few challenging questions. And they do that because they know that if you want to be baptized, and these are questions before being baptized, because when you are then baptized, you then make a public statement of being committed to Christ. And so they ask you these questions to make sure that you are ready. And these are the questions. First of all, are you willing to leave home and lose the blessing of your father and mother? Secondly, are you willing to lose your job? Because they might well lose their job if they get baptized. Are you willing to go to the village of those who persecute you and forgive them and share the love of Christ with them? Are you willing to give an offering to the Lord? Are you willing to be beaten rather than deny your faith? Are you willing to go to prison? And are you willing to die for Jesus? Those are serious questions. And what we have is someone who we can follow, who we can trust, who has answered yes to all of those questions, which means that we can also answer yes to all those questions, however challenging they may be. And so this day, on Palm Sunday, it's a day where we can say yes to him, because his Spirit lives in us. And whatever the challenges we are facing and will face, we can go through them because he has gone through them before on our behalf.